Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in times of need. And a little later on, the author says, so also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God, our high priest. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but this, the word of God, remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This week, we move into the third week of our sermon series on the book of Hebrews. In the first week, we marveled at the author of Hebrews' faith in Jesus. In the face that all those things that seem to stand in contradiction to the author's faith, including the suffering and the smallness of God's church in the world, the author was able to speak with such conviction regarding the identity of Jesus, that he is the unique Son of God, the exact image and reflection of God's glory, the servant of God who has brought us atonement for our sins, the exalted Son of God who through his humble death and resurrection has been glorified and given the heavenly throne from which he rules over all things. Despite the woes of this world, truly Jesus is worthy of our faith and our allegiance, and there is no one and nothing better in which to place our hopes or our faith. In the second week of our series, we heard the story of God's people at the banks of the Jordan River. There, at the threshold into the Promised Land, the people heard two competing voices in their ears. They heard the voice of God urging them forward into a future which they couldn't completely control or predict. And they heard the voice of their fears, telling them to trust their own plans rather than God's plans. The voice of their fears telling them to turn back into the wilderness, to head back towards slavery in Egypt. There, the message was a warning to not make the same mistakes as our ancestors in faith had made. Our calling in the face of our struggles and our difficulties, our calling is to face our fears, in the face of our fears, is to keep our faith in God, to listen to God, and to allow God to lead us and to guide us. This week, the author of Hebrews deepens his argument and continues in his quest to help us, his audience, keep our faith in God through Jesus. The first two messages are the backdrop for what comes here in chapters 5 and 6. Jesus is God's Son, the Savior, and the true King of the world. And we have a choice. We have a choice to listen to the voice of our fears or to listen to the voice of our faith calling us forward. Today, through the words of the book of Hebrews, God reminds us that as we walk this difficult road of faith, God can relate to our struggles, our sufferings, and our feelings of anguish along the way. The author has already praised Jesus for his elevated identity. The author has made it clear that Jesus is God's Son, upon whom God has poured all divine power and authority and glory. The author's point is clear. God is magnificent. Jesus is magnificent. And now the author reminds us that Jesus is more than just a typical God, more than just some Superman-like figure. He is a Savior who can understand our situation. He is a Savior who relates to us. Shifting gears a minute. Within the world of comic books, I know that's a hard shift. Within the world of comic book superheroes, it's often pointed out how characters from the Marvel comics, the Marvel universe, were different from the heroes that had been created in earlier decades. figures like Superman and Aquaman and Wonder Woman, they were really cool, and they sold comic books. But creators like Marvel's prominent writer Stan Lee, he realized that people couldn't really relate to those earlier characters because they were essentially gods. Given our reality as human beings with our limits and our struggles in life, it is hard or near impossible to relate to superheroes who are bulletproof and who can at any moment fly off into the heavens. Stan Lee helped to create characters who had superpowers, but whose identities were grounded in real human stories. Their lives retained struggles and the difficulties of human life. Spider-Man is the best example of this approach to writing. He was not an alien from another world like Superman. He was just a regular kid living in Queens, New York, who accidentally happened into superpowers. As such, he was just like any other kid who might pick up and read a comic book. Spider-Man had issues with his family. He had issues with other kids at school. He had romantic ups and downs. He wondered about his job, the job and the career that he would have outside of his life as a superhero. Spider-Man had relatable struggles. The comic book characters that Stan Lee helped to create were relatable. They lived in a real world, and beyond their superpowers, they had struggles and difficulties like every one of us. In a similar way, the author of Hebrews reminds us of an important truth regarding our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews and the early church held together these two dramatic and bizarre claims about Jesus. Yes, Jesus was and is God. And as God, Jesus can provide us with the gift of eternal salvation. But Jesus was not just some distant, far-off, bulletproof alien or divine being. Jesus, the church believed and believes and teaches, Jesus took on our flesh. In our passage for today, the author of Hebrews emphasizes the truth of Jesus' humanity, that he came to this broken and hurting world and he experienced what we experience. And for that matter, he experienced more than what any single one of us might be asked to endure. Like God's people at the banks of the Jordan River, Jesus felt human fears. He heard the voices of worry and doubt in his ears. Jesus, we are taught by Scripture, experienced temptation. He was tempted to sin. In the Gospels, we see that he faced grave temptations, the temptation to leave the path that God had given him. Jesus, the author of Hebrews, reminds us he suffered. He knew anguish. He cried out to God. And the Gospels tell us, as does the book of Hebrews, that Jesus' prayers, as he faced the difficulty of his calling, his prayers were so full of anguish that he prayed them through his tears. The author of Hebrews reminds us that we have a heavenly mediator, a high priest, and we have access to God through Jesus. And Jesus is someone who knows our struggles. He knows what we are going through. He knows that things are hard, and more than just seeing us in our sufferings, Jesus knows what it feels like. Jesus knows the difficulties we face, for he himself has faced them. People of God, there is a lot of loss and suffering and fear and worry about the future in our experience right now. This week, three different experiences emphasized this reality to me. On Tuesday, I was listening to the news and I heard that a study just came out that a full 50%, a full half of all American households has someone who in the past year has suffered with depression, anxiety, or the inability to sleep. Many in our communities are living with fear and despair. Many are struggling to pay the bills. Many are feeling depleted and exhausted by 18 months of a pandemic and all the shifting and changing issues that the pandemic has caused. We all know this. This is not news to us. We all know this from our personal lives. And we know it together in the life of our church. I heard this report on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I called Nancy Curtis, our chaplain, serving at St. Peter's Hospital in New Brunswick. And I talked with Nancy as she was there in the hospital And I didn't mention this news report that I had heard the day before, but Nancy affirmed to me from her own experience there in the hospital what that national study had found, that people are really suffering right now. Jeff, people are really suffering. That's just what Nancy said. People that she is ministering to in the hospital, they are in pain. They are experiencing depression, loss of hope, despair, in the face of these depleting difficulties in our world. That was Wednesday. Then on Thursday, I saw another dad at drop-off at my girls' preschool here at BVS. He's a dad that I have mostly had just friendly and casual hellos and goodbyes with on the playground. On Thursday, I could see that from his eyes above his mask that he needed more than just a hello. So I asked him how things were going. And he had a lot on his heart. His face showed his exhaustion as he told me how ragged he and his wife felt after dealing with keeping their family afloat through all of these ups and downs and deeper downs of the past 18 months. It's hard. It's hard, we both agreed. People of God, we've got a lot of suffering, a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulties in our lives. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all have experienced loss and fear and disappointment and frustration for these last 2 years. And today, God reminds us, through the words of the book of Hebrews, God is not above or beyond these struggles that we experience. God is, in fact, here with us in the midst of those struggles. Our God is not a God who keeps a perfect distance away from our imperfect difficulties, for in our Savior Jesus Christ, God has joined us along the way. The belief we carry, it tells us that Jesus has experienced our sorrows. He has known our struggles. He has felt our pains. He has known worse than we have. He has descended into hell, as we say in our Apostles' Creed. He has descended into the hell of knowing the depths of rejection and condemnation so that we might be spared from their eternal sting. People of God, God is with us. No matter what we might experience, God is with us, and God does not turn away or shrink in the face of our struggles. God is with us, and because of Christ, God can relate. Now, the hope of the gospel, a hope which I have been called upon to preach several times in the past few weeks for funerals and for appointments with families who have lost loved ones. The hope of the gospel is that one day, through God's power and because of God's love, God will finally and fully remove from this world the sicknesses and the sorrows and the tears and the terrors of this broken existence which we know. The hope of the gospel is an eternity with God in an experience of perfected love and peace and joy. Until that time comes, we have as our comfort and our support the knowledge that we worship and serve a God who knows and understands our struggles, a God who can relate to our fears, a God who can embrace us, even in the midst of our pain. As we lift up our prayers, even through our tears, let us do so with confidence, knowing that God is truly with us always. Thanks be to God. Amen.